encouraging words and try to point you towards an understanding that stuff happens. Now, there's another word that I won't use that starts with S. Stuff happens, doesn't it? Stuff that we don't want. Kelly, it sure is good to see you back there this evening. You look just like you belong here, man. We're glad you're here. Psalm 107, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 21. And this is what the Word of God says. I see some Bibles out there. That is wonderful. That's the goal here. Let's see. I need to go to this Bible here. I'm going to use a couple of different translations here. Psalm 107. Now, if you've got one of these little hookah-majiggers that like I got up here, would you please make sure that it's on vibrate? 107 and verse 21. Thank you, Father, for your word. Your word is the absolute essence of truth. Anything that doesn't agree with your word is lesser. It's lesser, Father, and we know that quite well. Psalm 107 and verse 21 says, Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, that they would praise the Lord. You have to understand, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And one of the things he wants to take from you is your praise. He doesn't want you praising God. He doesn't want you full of joy. He doesn't want you full of faith. He doesn't want you full of happiness. And he wants to steal. Be sober and be vigilant, because your enemy, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And what you have to say is, Mr. Devil, you may not devour me. Everybody say, Mr. Devil, you may not. You absolutely may not devour me, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. In fact, devil, I'm flawless. Amen. Because in the eyes of God, I want you to know that you are. There isn't anybody that he would just trade it and not have. He wants everybody here. He wants everybody to be full of joy. He wants everybody to find their way. And he knows their way. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. And I'm going to share something with you. He told us, in this world, these are the words of your Savior and mine, John 16 and 33. In this world, you will have tribulation. Now, why is that? You know, I don't know all of the reasons, but I know that through tribulation worketh patience, and patience worketh hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. And what that means is, when we go through stuff, see, no pain, no gain. We are born in such a way. David said this in Psalm 139, I was born into sin. I was born a sinner. I was born into sin. I tell you very often, even after I got saved, I was very young. I did some of my meanest things after I got saved. And I'm not proud of that as much as I just want to be honest about that, because you know what you don't need to do? You don't need to feel bad about anything. You don't need to apologize to anybody, especially the devil, for your existence and how God created you. and you're created fearfully and wonderfully made. But I'm going to address a central theme and thought this evening as we go on. And these, they see the works of the Lord, verse 24, and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. And I want to share with you, what do you do when you're at your wit's end? You know, there's trials. We have them sometimes daily. We have trials. But then sometimes we get into things that are so terrible, it puts you at your wit's end. How many of you, can anybody tell me what does that mean, to be at your wit's end? It means like, I can't take not one more thing going wrong. And the devil wants us to say stuff like that. I don't know if I can face this. I don't know if I can do it. And then we just have to remember Philippians 4:13, I can do all things. See, you have to fight back. You have to resist the devil. See, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. I'm not going under, I'm going over. Bless God. And Satan, if you're in the way, I'm going right through you. You better get out of the way, devil. Am I a smart aleck? No. I'm convinced of this very thing. I've been young, and I hate to admit this, I'm starting to get old. I have never, never seen the righteous forsaken. I have never seen them forsaken. Not once in my life. And I'm going to tell you, Millie and I were talking the other day. I said, you know what, Millie? No, it was me and Kathy, my sister. I said, whether good or bad, we're going to get paid back for everything. Galatians 6, verse 7 through 9 says, be not deceived. You will not mock God. Whatever you sow, whatever you plant, that shall you also reap. If you sow to the flesh, now the works of the flesh are these. You go on and on and on in Galatians chapter 6. And those that do those things, Paul said, I'm going to tell you again like I told you before, if you practice those things, if you do those things for a living, for practice them, and practice them, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, you know what? I can do anything if I know how what the rules of the game is, you know. I can try anything. I've been trying Jesus since 1971, and I love him. And he's made me feel like a winner. He's made me feel like I can do this. And when I miss it, when I totally miss it, as Kelly preached, he covers my sin. And people that love me cover my sin. I think we should try covering folks' sin, even if we don't like them. Why? Because I think it'll give us power with God. But I'm preaching tonight. What do you do when it's that bad? When it's not just your average. It's you're at your wit's end. You just said, I'm going to go back. I can't take no more of this. See, I want to just encourage you as I continue in this word to this end. If you're at your wit's end, don't tell the devil. Don't let it come out of your mouth. Let me tell you something. He's not God. He's part of creation. He can read body language. He can try to put fiery darts in your mind. But if you be still, you will know. Be still and know that I'm God. It's not when the devil's got you running and fighting and defending and wringing your hand. Oh, and you wonder, oh, gosh, how is this going to work out? I'm going to have to fix this. I'm going to have to do something. I wonder what I'm going to do. when really God wants you to be still. Be still and be full of worship. Worship God at those times when things look so terrible, when you're at your wit's end. Next place I'm going to go is Psalm 71, and I'm going to start at verse 12, and I'm going to go in a different translation. I'm going to go in the NLT, and I just love the way the Lord put this together. I had some thoughts on this for several days. And Psalm 71, beginning at verse 12, says this, and I want to share, this is what you do, this is what you say to God when you're at your wit's end, when it's worse than usual. It's what I'm trying to say. And you know what? I wonder how many people in here tonight. It's worse than usual. Verse 12 in the NLT. Oh God, don't stay away. My God, please hurry to help me. Bring disgrace and destruction on my accusers. We were praying this morning. We were calling out some names. And we said, Father, help us. Because these people are, they're far more willing to hurt us than we are to hurt them. So it puts me at a disadvantage, Father, unless you're the God of the Bible, unless you're the God of the promise. From whence cometh my help? Hallelujah. My help cometh from the Lord. And you know what? If my help comes from God, I don't need anything else. I really don't. My help does not come from my doctor. I like some of them, my God. My help doesn't come from my banker. I love them. They're kind to me and we get along. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. I will look unto the hills and say, from whence cometh my help? Kelly, my help comes from the Lord God. Comes from God. Comes from a relationship that began many years ago. It came from me looking at my life and saying, man, I have really messed up. Where am I in all of this? What can God do with somebody like me? And he showed me, he picked me up, dusted me off, and he began to kindly work with me like he's working with you. And Satan likes to say, oh, he's not there. He's not helping. You're going under. You're not going to do good. You're at your wit's end, and I'm going to keep you there. Very early in my life, I was married already. I was 23, 24. I said, well, Satan, I remember he was doing that to me one day. I think we were in Modesto, California. And I said, you see all them people? See that line of people? Watch me. I'm going to tell every one of them about Jesus. He said, oh, no, you're not. I said, hey, ain't nothing between us but air. If you can stop me, stop me. And I went, and it was about six people. I just told them about Jesus, just like I had good sense. Do you know Jesus? I know him. I've been with him I'm saved. I've been saved about 2 or 3 years now. And I just went from one person to the next person. I asked them, can I pray with you? Did I make you mad by telling you about Jesus? I remember this time. I said, no. Nobody was mad. You know what? I preached the gospel. I started preaching before I was a preacher. The gospel. You know what that word means? The good news about Jesus. The good news about the plan that he has for your life. The good things that he wants to do for you. The sincerity of the Lord's heart. That's what I found. He's very sincere, and he wants to encourage me, even at my lowest points. You know, whenever something bad happens, me and my Proverbs 31 woman were talking, I think, last night before we went to bed, and we said this, you know, one of the things I do is I ask God, God, am I responsible for any of this? But you know, a lot of times it's not. Sometimes it is. Man, own it. Own your life. Man, you can fool some of the people some of the time. You ain't never going to fool God. Be honest with yourself. You know, you can't be honest with anybody till you're first honest. You can't be honest with God till you're honest with yourself. See, I was shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame. Then the hand of Jesus touched me. See, that ain't just a song to me. That's what happened to me. That's what happened. He reached down and touched me and began to change my life. And he began to say, don't be upset because your dad never wanted to see you. I'm your dad now. I'm your dad. And he just didn't know how good you were. And I think I relate best to people that had a hard childhood. They didn't have their mom and their dad necessarily. They didn't get to eat what they wanted every day necessarily. But bring disgrace and destruction on my accusers, because Father God, I can't. Your word doesn't let me. I have to find that secret place. I have to dwell in the secret place of the Most High God and abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Help me, God, because there are people that are far more willing to hurt me than I am to hurt them. And they put me at wit's end at times. Humiliate and shame those who want to harm me. Well, do you really say that to God? Well, it's in the Word. I speak the Word. What are you talking when you talk to God? Yeah, there's times that I feel like this. I'm in trouble. I love that verse in Psalm that says this, because sometimes I'm afraid. I don't say this too often. I preached this message, I think, in 2022. When I'm afraid, I'm going to trust in God. When I'm afraid, that looks like I'm at my wit's end, I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to trust in God. And there's something that's beginning to come over my life. And I think it's after many, many years. You know, you have your daily challenges. And I'm beginning to realize that's going to be taken care of. That's what's in my heart anymore. Your word have I hid in my heart, Father, that I might not sin against you, and that I might be able to walk by faith. For it is written, 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't walk by our sense realm, what we can see, hear, feel, taste, or smell. We don't walk by that. Animals walk like that. But Romans 8:14 says this, everybody that's led by the Spirit of God is a child of God. And many times in my life, I walk by the Spirit of God. Do you ever get tripped up? Yeah. Sometimes the devil trips me up. I'll just be honest with you. Well, what do? Well, I don't spend 5 years justifying it. I say, God, hear me, son. I was wrong. I did wrong, Tommy. I did wrong. See, own it. Own it. The message hasn't changed, has it? No. Tommy's been with us since about 1987, 1988. He's like a kid. October of 87. He's like one of my kids. I love him. And we just have sometimes we put ourselves at wit's ends. But let me tell you something. The devil don't need no help. Sometimes we just go along doing everything right, and he'll get us messed up. How does he do that? Well, you know that the devil has more people that he can work through than Jesus does? For it is written, I didn't say this, straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. Now broad is the way that leads to destruction. Paul told about how God uses people. He said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. See, and those people, You know who they are, especially sometimes you just go, what just happened here? You wonder, what in the heck just happened? And you realize that was somebody that was influenced by the devil. You know what? You got to be careful. You got to be discerning. Jesus was going along one day, and it sounded so good to Peter. He said, you know, Lord, we're just not going to let you. We're just not going to let you be crucified. That's crazy, Lord. That's crazy. Why would we? I will die for you. Peter, by the time the rooster crows three times, by the time the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. First preacher was Mary Magdalene, the first preacher of the New Testament. She went, she said, you go find the disciples. Said, find Peter too. Let him know that I still love him. Let him know I'm not holding any of that against him. I want you to know, whatever you did, if you'll just say to yourself between you and God, I was wrong. I was just wrong. I don't go too many services. And I look here, if you think I think that I know it all and I've never hurt, man, I know I've hurt people. I've hurt people in this room. Please forgive me. And if you need more than that, we'll do something else. I'll give you $20 or whatever you think we need to do. We'll get it right. We'll try to. Amen? Don't you feel that way? Don't. Did you ever got into something and you wish, I wish I could go back and do this day over and not get, where it just, I was lured into mouthing or doing something. And then we get at our wits' end sometimes. Sometimes we don't need no help from ourselves. Sometimes Mr. Devil just gets us there. Why? Because he has way more people. For many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, I prophesied, I did this, I did that. And I will say to them, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. See, it's not that you got it right all the time. It's whether or not you built a relationship with God Almighty, the Creator. That's what he wants from each and every one of us. And just like that beautiful song, you're flawless in the eyes of God. Little Anna was telling me just a moment ago, she had eye surgery. Is it okay to say anything about this a little bit, Anna? And she said, but now I can see. I can see now. She said, I can see that sign, that welcome sign in the foyer. And I'm doing better. I'm so happy. I'm so happy you're here. I'm happy everybody's here. And I just want us all to grow. And let's grow together. Let's all of us grow. And the people that are troubling us and our family and maybe troubling other people in our family, let's take that to the Lord in deep, incessant, sober prayer. Say, God, I just ain't as willing to hurt them as they are to hurt me. Can you protect me from them? I know I'm a big mafia-looking dude, but can I tell you something? That's how I pray. That's the secret of my prayer life. Now, sometimes I can't say that, and I want to handle things myself. May I just say to you that that has never worked ever in my life, not one time. It never has worked. I flub something else when I try to. I misread things and mess things up. But here we are in 71, verse 14. But I will keep hoping for your help. See, this is communion night is a night of renewal for you. And if you just leave here and you're still hoping for God's help, hope maketh not ashamed. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But I will keep on hoping for your help. I will praise you more and more. If you came in here tonight and we were able to encourage you to lift your hands and lift your voice to the Lord, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. When you can do that, no matter what happens in your life, I will praise you more and more. I will tell everyone about your righteousness. And I'm telling you, I've had conversations like that with the devil, not just once. I just let him know, everybody I see today, I'm going to ask him if I can pray for him. I'm going to mention the name of Jesus to him. Why? Because you know what? This ain't a game. This is a freaking war, for God's sake. We are at war with evil. Read Ephesians chapter 6. Put on the whole armor of God. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against evil in the low realms and in the high realms. Lieutenants and generals of evil and imps of evil. And put on the girdle of truth. Why? You don't have to defend God. You don't have to defend the word. You don't have to hold up the word. By golly, the word will hold you up. It'll just do it. No matter who likes it and who doesn't like it. And be like that. And when you realize that, and after a while you realize God's taking care of anything, well, then I don't have to be as ugly to people as I can be at times. I don't have to do that. I could afford to be nice. I will tell everyone about your righteousness. This is how to get it. This is what you do when you're at wit's end. You just start telling people about Jesus. And you know what? Go to the grocery store. Just find people you don't even know. And just start talking about the Lord. Hi, ain't it a great day? What do you think about all this heat? My gosh, it seems like it's hotter than normal. Are you a person of faith? You are. Where do you go to church? The other day I told Sherry, it's been several months ago now, met a girl at the Buddy Swartz, and she was putting air in her tire, and she was talking to somebody, and I was getting fuel. I was heading east. She was heading west, and she's saying, I don't want to be in a relationship with you anymore. She said that four or five times, and every time she said it, she raised her voice a little bit. She was meaning to get her point across. There's some people that know some people that you just need to tell, I don't want to be in a relationship with you anymore. I just don't want to be. I finally couldn't control myself. I said, that was the best conversation I've heard so far today. It's only morning. It was before noon. But that was great. And we started talking. And she is in this town. Do you remember her name? I don't either. That happens to me every day. Every day. I make it a point. Because you know what? That's resisting the devil. And when you resist him, in the Greek language, it doesn't just say he'll flee from you. It'll run away from you in terror. Oh, my God. There's a freaking idiot. Oh, my God. Let's get out of here. This ain't going to work. Let's go find somebody else to ruin their life. This guy here. But let's read a little further. I will tell everyone about your righteousness all day long. All day I will proclaim your saving power, though I am not skilled with words. I will praise your mighty deeds, O sovereign Lord. I will tell everyone that you alone are just. O God, you have taught me from my earliest childhood, and I constantly tell others about the wonderful things you do. Now that I'm old and gray, I see. You got to own it sometime. I mean, look at me. Not only old am I old and gray, I went to see Huck the other day to get a haircut, and I said, now, Huck, see, I got too much over here, and I'd like you to block this in the back. I said, but you see it on top? Don't even look at that. There's not as much. It's almost, I mean, don't do anything with that, Huck, okay? You got, yes, sir. He said, Brother Angelo, I told your grandson, Evan, the last time you prayed for me, I asked you to pray for our hay crop. And you prayed. And my hay increased 37%. I said, Huck, I believe in prayer. And I believe in you. And we prayed again. And I gave him some counsel. Don't Did God honor that prayer because I'm in the ministry? God honored that prayer because I'm a son. I'm a son. Your sons and daughters, and there's sons and daughters in this room. That makes you just what the doctor ordered. And you don't know how much good you can do for somebody. I've seen people can't even talk right. Get in there and buy somebody, pay somebody's bill, do this and do that, and help people. And it's wonderful. But Father in heaven, now that I'm old and gray, do not abandon me, O God. Let me proclaim your power to this new generation. And that's what I'm here to do. I'm here to proclaim that power. Man, who could ask for? We've got young people that are so precious. They love God. They're doing the best they can. And they get knocked down at school, and they get picked on, and we just have to pick each other up. Let me proclaim your power to this new generation, your mighty miracles to all who come after me. Your righteousness, O God, reaches to the highest heaven. You have done such wonderful things. See, when you begin to tell the Lord, well, many years ago when I first got married, I driving from San Jose to Patterson, California. That's about an 80-mile trip. And I'd do it in the morning and night. I got the notice in the sky. And I said, Father, you're the best artist I've ever seen. I've never seen anybody do more with colors than you do. I'm so glad to be in this world. Father, I thank you for my little old house that we have. I've lived like Billy Graham. I've lived in that house. That's the longest I've ever lived in one place. We just liked it so much. We just thought, well, we'll just stay here. I don't have to have a new house. I just got a house that I like. Why? Because the Lord dwells there. And we've had many things happen there, the Lord and I, and Millie, my wife, and my children. You have done such wonderful things, Father. Who can compare with you, O God? You have allowed me, now hear this, see, this is like the one about when the guys who went to the sea and the Lord lifted up the waves and the wind. You have allowed me to suffer much hardship, but you will restore me to life again and lift me up from the depths of the earth. I have suffered much hardship. Some of it's my own fault. Some of it's the fault of people that just hate me. You will restore me to even greater honor and comfort me once again. What do? When you're at your wit's end, you begin to meditate and pray these verses. Yeah, Lord, I've suffered. I'm suffering right now. But I'm going to tell you something. Just like Job, Father in heaven, I know my Redeemer lives. No matter what happens, I know my Redeemer lives. He ain't been dead in me. You know, they came up with a series of movies, God's Not Dead. Right on, brother. God ain't dead. You better look out. God ain't dead. Your enemies, they better look out. God ain't dead. Touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. And don't touch my kids. They're the apple of my eye. If you touch one of my kids, it's like touching the pupil, the apple of my eye. You will restore me to even greater honor, and you will comfort me once again. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4, and we'll start there. We're going to read 10 and 11a. What is 11a? A is the first part of verse 11. B is the second part. Some verses have more than that, but we're going to the New Testament now. We're going to continue to share this here. What do you do when you're at your wit's end? When things it's just awful. Everything, you know, in this day and age, families are against each other, this and that, and neighbors and everything. It's awful. It's absolutely terrible. But we're just going to go on with these thoughts for a few more moments, and then who knows? We'll see here. We'll get out on time or close to it. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 10 says this. For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors. You know what that means? I'm going to tell you exactly what that means. That means you're no longer saying, I got to do it myself. No. No, all of a sudden you say, no, I'm going to wait in this no matter. I'm not going to do it. That's not going to happen. I am entered into God's rest, and I have rested from my labors, just as God did after creating the world. So let us do our best to enter into that rest. One translation says, let us strive. Let us work hard. Do whatever we have to do to enter into the rest of the Lord. You know how when things come at you from this side and that side and everything upside down and this isn't going to work and they're going to do this and they're going to, you know what? It's at times like that and you say, no, I'm not going to worry about that. I've got a feeling everything's going to be all right. Oh, I've got a feeling everything's going to be all right. In your word, Jesus tells me everything's going to be all right. Amen and 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 amen. Verse 11 there, it's longer, but I just got part A. So let us do our best. Let us strive. Let us work hard to enter into that rest. Let's, you know what? Take a pause and say, bless God, I'm not going to get off in a tussle about this time. I'm not going to give you know what? Don't you know the devil loves that? I mean, he's a sicko. He just is. And he loves to hurt people. And you know, if you just give it a shot, give it a try, I dare you to not get upset. I dare you. And see what God will do for you. Exodus 14:14 is for everybody that wants to fix it themselves. Says this, and the Lord will fight for you. But you're going to have to hold your peace. You know how hard that is? Yeah, you do. Be slow to speak. Be slow to get angry. Be quick to listen. And give it over to God. Cast all your burdens upon the Lord. Kind of like fishing. Cast them out there. The thing is, when you get it out there, don't reel it back in too soon and check the bait. Cast it out there. Leave it out there. Give it to God. Why? Because he said he'd take care of it. Now, is God a man that he should lie? No, he won't lie. Last place tonight. Turn to Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, and we're going to finish up here. And I just want you to know that God loves you. I just want you to know that you're special, and I want you to know he wanted you to hear this. Matthew chapter 11, we read it all the time. Why? Because we need it all the time. We need these verses all the time. Beginning at verse 28, then said Jesus, come unto me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. Can anybody relate to that? Being weary and carrying heavy burdens. I want to speak to everybody that's got a heavy burden tonight. I'm going to ask you to give it to God. Weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. See, strive to get into that rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest. See, there's being at wit's end, or there's rest in the storm. Now, tell you something about Jesus. He wasn't kidding. Whatever happened that night that he was inside of that boat, it was dark out, and the wind was blowing, and couldn't keep his eyes open. Fell asleep. He said, somebody better wake him up. Fellas, we have to wake Jesus up. Somebody said, okay, I'll do it. Lord, don't you care that we're going to die? What did you just say? Don't you care that we're going to die? Look what's happening here. He said, just get out of the way. He got up on deck. And he pointed at that sky. I've done it myself. Some of you seen me do it. And he said, peace, be still. And they said, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the waves obey him? See, last Wednesday night, there was a fellow in here, thought he had some problems. I said, obey me. Remember that, anybody? Obey me, devil, in the name of Jesus. Stop talking. I'm preaching this message. For my yoke is easy to bear, and my burden is light. This is about, what is the opposite of being at wit's end? It's having the rest of the Lord, the experience of God's rest. What do you got to do? Well, be still, Psalm 46 and 10, and you'll know that I'm God. Be still. Stop fighting for yourself and trying to defend yourself. Let me fight for you. Take your burdens to me. Oh, you know, the Lord loves when I tell. I've been telling him the last several mornings. And evident, Millie and I, every morning we've been saying, Father, into your hands we commit our spirit. Praise and worship team, come on up here. We're about to take communion, make an altar wherever you are right now. Examine your heart. Tell the Lord what's bothering you. I dare you to cast your burden on the Lord.